The sermon title for this morning is to maintain a good conscience. And it is part of a series that we have been going through in the book of First Peter. And this is like the last part of this series where how Peter is encouraging us and is talking to us and is exhorting us how we should live a life that is going through suffering, that is going through persecution, and by maintaining a good conscience, we can navigate our life through all this suffering and all these challenges, knowing that our God is a God that is holy. And truly, I thank God that our God is holy, because can you imagine a life that, or rather a God that is not holy? What is going to happen to our so-called kingdom after we die? If our God is not holy, can you imagine the heavenly kingdom that we are going to go to? Is there any difference compared to the life that we are living now here on earth if our God is not holy? So therefore, I really, really thank God that our God is holy, because this world is broken, this world is not perfect, and we are going through all these challenges and suffering right now. But we thank God that something we can look forward to, what is to come, the kingdom of heaven that is perfect, because He is holy. For those who believe in Him, He has prepared a place for us. And because of that, He also has prepared a place for those who have yet to believe Him. Now, I truly thank God that He is a holy God. And I like movies, right? Especially TVB, or Cantonese movies, or Hong Kong movies. Right, so I love those police and the criminals story, all this, you know. You have guns, you have explosions, you have all this exciting thing happening in that movie. Now, can you imagine a scene, where before the last fight of the movie, right, usually the police will do something and the criminals will also do the similar thing. Can you roughly guess what is it? What is it? Oh, no, not give money. Yeah, they pray. So the police, they will pray. And the same thing, the criminals, they too will pray. Right? And it so happened that in Cantonese movie, or at least the many that I've watched so far, you know, they pray to the same God. They pray to Guan Yi Guo. All right? The one with a very big parang. All right? So they pray to Guan Yi Guo. So the police, they will be praying, you know, Guan Yi Guo, help us and let us capture all the bad guys and make sure that all the police are safe. Right? And then on the other hand, at the same time, the criminals, right, they're also praying to this Guan Yi Guo, saying that, Guan Yi Guo, you protect us, brothers, that none of us will perish and the police cannot catch us. Right? So we have this very interesting, you know, background going on. And the question that I have for you this morning is that, which prayer will this Guan Yi Guo answer? Some say it's the police. And always in the movie, we say that it's the police, right? Eventually, you know, it's either everybody die, or the police, the main character, will not die. Our main character won't die. All right, so that is the movie, what the movie shows us, right? But we have to understand, you know, in our world today, there are good people, people who think they are good. There are people who think that they are bad, but they don't think that they are bad. Right? So we have the police and we have the criminals. So which group do you belong to, and which group or which prayer will this Guan Yi Guo answer? So that is something very challenging for us today, because today in the world that we live in, good can be bad, bad can be good. Everything is twisted around. And whatever is good is because I say so. I say it's good, so it's okay for me to do it. I can double park whenever I can because I cannot find a place. And this is Malaysian culture. But in Klang Valley, so many cars. I just have to double park somewhere, block the way for a while, and then I go to buy stuff, you know. I feel good because I don't feel guilty. I don't feel guilty at all because, you know, this is how things are in Malaysia. But essentially, it is so easy for us to get our conscience twisted. We know it is not right to double park. We know it is not right to speed. We know it is not right to do that illegal U-turn that we always do without being caught. We know deep down inside all these are no good. But our conscience seems to tell us that, nah, it's okay. Everybody is doing it. It's okay to lie. It's okay to have a white lie for the sake of the person. It's okay that if I'm late for the service, God is still there. Keeping and maintaining a good conscience is really, really hard in a twisted world today. So let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. And prayerfully, as we look at this scripture, God will impact upon our lives and say that, you know, is this enough? We need to get our conscience right. What is good is good. What is bad. No gray area. And we should follow our conscience. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Now, by keeping clear conscience, there will be problems coming. There will be suffering coming. There will be challenges coming to us because we chose to do what is right. Because we chose to do what is right, we may be laughed at. For doing what is right, we may be persecuted, you know, sometimes in the business sector, because you are righteous, because you do what is your conscience telling you, which is right. Sometimes we miss out opportunities. Sometimes we miss out being promoted to become the business manager because you are too righteous. And our business cannot strive in such a righteous environment. So, brothers and sisters, keeping a good and clear conscience will have consequences, especially in our life. But nevertheless, Peter is saying, for it is better if it is God's will for us to suffer for doing good than to suffer for doing evil. So is there something that we need to look into our hearts this morning? Is there something that is going against our conscience this morning that we have been keeping doing it, thinking that it is all right? Now, the word conscience comes from two Latin words. It is con and sio, with, to know. All right. So, in a very simple manner, conscience is the internal judge that enables us to know with, and that internal judge is either approving our actions or either accusing us of our actions. So it's a little voice in our hearts that says that, hey, this is something that you should beware, you shouldn't do. Or this is the little voice that says that, you've done good. Amazing job. So it is the little voice in our hearts that is the internal judge that enables us to know something. All right? Now, some of us may think of conscience as something, you know, that is only found in believers. Something that is found in Christian only. Alright? So let's look at Romans chapter 2, verses 14 to 15. Sadly, we have no excuse. Whether we know God or whether we don't know God, whether we know Jesus Christ or whether we don't know who Jesus is, we have no excuse because God has created each and every one of us with conscience. Alright, Romans chapter 2, verses 14 to 15. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. Now, to put this very clearly, Gentiles, those who do not have the law of God, those who do not know who God is, they behave in a certain manner, all right? They behave in a certain manner. For example, when we talk about Christianity, we have the Ten Commandments. So we know, you know, this is what we should do, this is what we should not do. And we notice that from the fifth commandment onwards, honor your father and mother. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, and you shall not give false testimonies against your neighbor. Now, all these are written as part of the Ten Commandments in the law, in the book of law, right? So for those who know God, for those who know who Jesus is, At some point of our life, we have known this. Now, you notice that all these are general in a way, because those who do not know God and those who do not know who Jesus is, they know in their hearts that they should honor their father and mother. They know in their hearts that they should not murder. They should not kill somebody. They know in their hearts that they are not supposed to commit adultery, not supposed to steal, and not supposed to lie, and not supposed to cover your neighbor's house. All this is inbuilt in us, whether or not we belong to Jesus Christ, or whether we know who God is. Because this is how God has created you and me. And as I shared before, God has created us with a body, with a soul, and with a spirit. Now, for the body, once again, can you just give the person beside you a high five? Just a high five. Hi. Yes. All right, so this is the interaction between physical touch, body. All right, this is your body, where you can feel and touch the seat, be seated here, and give a high five to the people around you. Now, when we talk about soul, all right, now, let me encourage you to do an exercise. Can you just smile to the person next to you? Can you just smile to the person next to you from the bottom of your heart? Just smile and, you know, give them a warm smile. All right? So, in terms of soul, our mind, our emotions, our will is part of our soul. So, as we express our joy, as we express our smile to the people around us, it is showing to the people around us that we are being cheerful. We are happy. We are joyful. Now, for the challenging part, spirit. Look at the person next to you right now. Can you know for sure that the person beside you, what is in the deepest part of his heart right now? Just look at the person next to you. Can you know what is that person thinking right now? Deep down in the conscience, what is that person thinking? How many of you can know what the person beside you is having? Whoa, Christian, Yen Xun. He's thinking what you're thinking. Oh, that's a very good answer. That's a very good answer. All right? God has created us with a spirit. And when Adam and Eve sinned, this spirit died. But as we are reborn in a way, as we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts, God gave us a new spirit in us. And this Holy Spirit in us that is guiding our way of thought, that is guiding what we think, how we behave. And that is why through our body and through our soul, we can know whether that person has a spirit that has been born again. By our behavior, by what we think, by what we say, by how we behave, we can know whether that person belongs to God or not. And of course, when we talk about conscience, it is the little things. You know, I like animation as well. I've been watching Tom and Jerry all my life since I was young. And there has always been a little Tom and a little, you know, devil Tom, right, in certain parts of the series. And conscience is something like this, right? Conscience is the little voice in your heart that should represent the little angel. That should represent the little angel. And always we have this conversation within us, you know, as our conscience talks to us. Sometimes we talk back, sometimes we agree. But very often you will notice that sometimes the little angel will win, but sometimes, maybe more often, the little devil will win. Coaching us to sin against God, to do something against God's will, and to do and sin against God and the people. So we have conscience in a very similar manner, a very simple manner, especially for the young people or the members today. Now, to have a more clear representative of what conscience is, imagine conscience is a window. It's a window into your heart, all right? So conscience can be compared to a window that allows the light of God's truth in. So imagine this is the window, right? And that how much light can come in determines how clear your conscience is. All right? So if you continue to disobey God, you know, the little conscience come out and say something, and then you say no, don't ignore it, and you keep ignoring it, you keep suppressing it, eventually the little voice will never be heard again because you have suppressed it to a point that it can no longer influence you and yourself. All right? So the conscience is like a little window, and it allows the light of God's truth in. And if we constantly and always ignore the little voice, the little angel, the little voice that says no to sinning, we are going to get our window dirtier and dirtier and dirtier until the point where the light can no longer enter and make an impact into our life. And the scripture does have description of this kind of conscience. First of all, in Titus chapter 1, verse 15, it refers to the defiled conscience. To the poor, all things are pure. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. So we see that the first group of people, they have a conscience, but it's defiled. The second group, seared conscience. This is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Now, what does it mean? All right, so if you have a hot iron and you keep, putting it on your skin, after it heals that area, you will realize that it is less sensitive to touch because, you know, eventually and ultimately, the whole flesh there has been dead because of the hot iron. And as you continue to do it again and again and again and again, you will notice that that portion of your arm, of your skin, can no longer respond to any external stimulus in a way. You become numb to right and wrong. And this is what I believe most of us or our Christians behave in such a way. Because, like the example that I gave you just now, we have become so numb that we have been double parking, you know, we have been speeding here and there, and then we have been doing illegal U-turn, thinking that it's all right. Because it has become numb, knowing that it's okay. But this is the type of conscience that most of us may be having. The seared type, where we are no longer sensitive to what is right and to what is wrong. And of course, the last type of conscience is the evil conscience. This is found in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22. This is a hope for each and every one of us. Before we know who God is, we have evil conscience because it always goes against what God wants for us. But as we draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean, from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water, it is now possible for us to turn from a twisted evil conscience to have an all brand new conscience. The evil conscience is one that says good to things that are bad. It's like the little devil. If you want to do something that is good, the little voice will tell you that, you know, why are you sacrificing your time and energy for these small things? It is not worth it. And if you want to help people around you, you should get paid. The little voice that twists the good and the bad. Now, we thank God that we can have access to a new conscience as we put our faith in God, and as God renew our conscience, it is possible for you and I to have a good conscience. And this good conscience is going to become more sensitive to right and wrong. And we can take practice and make exercise to keep the conscience strong and pure. And this is what Paul says here in Acts chapter 24, verse 16. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and men. How many of us actually spend time thinking through what we have gone through for the day before we sleep? Do we spend time, you know, just screen through what happened in the morning? Yeah, there's certain big events during lunchtime and the lunch, and then after that at night, do we actually spend time to think whether we have caused somebody grievances, or whether we have helped somebody to be happy, or whether we have been blessing the people around us. It is very, very important for us to exercise this so that we can help to maintain our conscience good and pure. Now, why do we need to keep and maintain a good conscience? Because it is the right thing to do. Simply because it is the right thing to do. And God has called us to keep a good conscience and to have the right behavior in Christ. So prayerfully, this should be enough as a motivation for us to behave in such a manner, to have good conscience, because it is the right thing to do. Because God in His Scripture says that it is good for us to have good conscience and it is right for us to behave in a Christ-like manner. And before we end, let me just encourage you with three different benefits in a way. How does a good conscience help a believer in times of trials and opposition? So even if we choose to do what is right, once again, suffering challenges may come our way, but continue to do what is right because a good conscience fortifies us with courage. A good conscience fortifies us with courage. And we have courage simply because we know that we are right with God and we are right with man. And when we are right with God, there is no need for us to be afraid. Now, this photo is taken, it's a drawing. And this is Martin Luther, our father of Reformation. And this is at the Diet of Worms on the April 18, 1522. Now, Diet of Worms is one very important ceremony, or it is an assembly. And it was called by the Holy Roman Empire Emperor Charles V at an imperial free city of Worms. So whenever, you know, in the Christian faith, you come across a Diet of Worms, it does not mean your food is worm. All right? So get to know that, all right? And the edict of this worm, the name of this place, is that they condemn Martin Luther as a notorious heretic and banned citizens of the empire from propagating his ideas. So at that time, in our church history, we know that there was a Roman Catholic time and where they practice, you know, they don't really follow the Bible. And because Martin Luther read through the Bible, he has access to the Bible at that time in German, and he realized that, you know, in Latin and German at that time, right? He realized that the Word of God did not say and did not practice certain things like the teaching of purgatory and all these sacraments and all this stuff. So with the conscience that God has given to him, he stand against the whole church at that time. And because of that, he was persecuted. He was so-called soft prison in a way. But because of his conscience that is bound to God's word, gave him the courage to defy the whole established church at that time. And that is why today we don't believe in purgatory, because it was never in the Bible. And there are many, many things that the Roman Empire and the Roman Catholics practice that is not in the Scripture, that is not in line with the Scripture. And we thank God because of Martin Luther's conscience that we are free from all this. And secondly, a good conscience gives us peace in our hearts. And when we have peace within us, we can face battles that come outside us. Imagine our lives without peace. How can we even fight the war outside of us? And the war that we are always fighting is that good or bad, whether it's in our workplace, whether it's in our friends and all this stuff, right? How can we witness to God who we are if our conscience is always poking at us and witnessing against us? So a good conscience gives us peace in our hearts. That will give us a good night rest at night also. And lastly, a good conscience removes fear from us. All right? Removes fear from us. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Think about it. If we choose to be faithful to our conscience, to do what is right, what is the worst that our enemy, your boss, your company, can do to you? don't let you go for promotion, right? Maybe no extra income, no bonus. And for some of the major projects, they may remove you because you are too righteous. You don't take under table money. You don't do the shortcuts and all this stuff. But what is the worst that can ever happen to you? Die. Death. All right? But we have to understand, even after we die, where do we belong? If our assurance is in heaven after death, we have no fear. Even if we die, we know where we are going. And that's like the worst case scenario. And when Christ is our Lord and we fear only God, we will not fear about the threats, we will not fear about the options, our opinions, or the actions of our enemy. There is no need for us to be fearful of what our bosses can do to us. But of course, in the scripture, we do have failed example. Peter denied Jesus 3 times when he feared the enemy. When he was surrounded by all these people, upon the fire there, people recognize who he is. But because of pressure, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And we do have a very good example. What happens after he denied Jesus? He wept bitterly because the conscience is eating upon his life. On the other hand, Judas, who betrayed Jesus, what did he do after that? He threw back the 3 shillings to the Pharisees, and after that he go and hang himself. The conscience is going to eat into a person's life. So make sure that we always keep our conscience clear before God and before man. And of course, we can have 2 different decisions as well. That as Peter wept bitterly, he came back to God. And he is one of the apostles who preached the gospel to the ends of the earth. Or we can choose like Judas, who take the easy way out, which is not a very good example for you and me. Now, we are going to be accused and we are going to be lied about. This is who we are. We are standing against the system of the world. And you will notice that we are always going against the flow of the world. And our conscience is only a safe guide when we have the light of God shining into our hearts. Our conscience can be twisted. It can be evil unless and until we have the Word of God in our hearts that is going to make things straight. All right, so our conscience must be aligned with God's Word. Our conscience must be aligned with God's Word. And Ephesians chapter 5, 11 have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. So as you are a believer, as you are a Christian, you go into your workplace, a new place of work, you notice that there are some hanky-panky business going on. And you are going to feel pressure because your conscience is going to say, hey, your boss shouldn't do this. Hey, you shouldn't follow in their footsteps. Christians, we are called to be lights in this dark world. And we are going to reveal the unfruitful works of darkness. And as our conscience reminds us to do what is good, we are going to stand up. Say, boss, this is not the way we should be doing things. We should not be giving under table money. We should not be taking the easy way out so that we can get the business. We are going to go against the world. And because we are going against the world, we are going to suffer and there will be challenges. But let me give you 3 examples that hopefully you'll be encouraged and that you are willing to suffer and face the challenges regardless of what the pressure that the world is giving to us. So the first example, Joseph and Potiphar's wife, a very famous example. Joseph is handsome, tall, and then Potiphar's wife looked up to him and then wanted to have a sleep with him in a way. And eventually, Joseph ran away and he was falsely accused. He refused to sin and he was thrown into prison as a result. So not such a good ending for those who follow their conscience and do what is right. But nevertheless, After that, you know that in the story and in the record of the scripture, he was the prime minister of Egypt. Because of what he does is right, God has raised him up to be the prime minister of Egypt. Now the second example, Daniel was cast into the lion's den because he do not want to bow and worship the king of Babylon at that time. So the government officials in Babylon scheme against him because Daniel's life and Daniel's work were a testimony against this group of government officials. And as a result of this, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. But we thank God that the story turns out that none of the lion hurt Daniel. And eventually, those who threw Daniel into the lion's den, they and their family members were chewed upon by the lion. So again, we see that as we choose to do what is right, eventually God will avenge us. And the last example, the one that is more famous to many of us, Jesus Christ revealed the sinful hearts and deeds of the people during his life on earth. And in John 15, verse 24, if I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. And as it is, they have seen what Jesus has done, and yet they have hated both Jesus and my Father. And as a result of all that, the people crucified Jesus Christ. It is not easy for us today as we go through life having a good conscience. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 to 13, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It is an assurance. Will be persecuted. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So the world that we are living right now is not going to get better per se, spiritually. It's going to go from bad to worse. And even today, we know that the truth has been twisted here and there. And it is time that we make our stand. That as we spend time in the scripture and let in the light into our hearts, a strong conscience will be in our heart as a result of obedience, based on the knowledge in the Bible. So how do we know whether things are right or wrong? Look at the Bible. The Bible will have all this there. And also an encouragement for us today, in First Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to this group of people. People who twisted good from bad, good from evil, darkness and light. They are going to face God's judgment. So even though our world is so mixed up today, let me encourage you that shame arises from the fear of man. But conscience arises from the fear of God. So as we align ourselves and as we align our hearts to the scripture and to God's word, we will have and we can maintain a good conscience. And for us today, isn't it great that our Lord is holy? And that this world that we are living right now is not our eternal home. So let us live out a life and be courageous because we maintain a good conscience. And the reason why we do that is because God has called us to maintain a good conscience. Will you come before Lord this morning and to submit to Him and to choose to live a life that we maintain a good conscience? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the time that you have brought to us. And we want to thank you also for the message that you have reminded us to live a life and to choose to live a life that is of good conscience. And we pray that, Lord, you will continue to help us as we go through our life right now with sufferings and challenges ahead of us because we choose to follow and obey Jesus Christ. But Lord, we also know that there are challenges and we ask that you continue to help us to win and to overcome all these challenges and sufferings because we have chosen to do what is right. So help us, O Lord, as we dismiss today. And we also want to pray that you will be a blessing especially to each and every one of us. And Lord, help us to obey you as we give up our offering to you this morning. And prepare our hearts as the offering bag is passed alongside. And we just want to pray that, Lord, everything that we give out back to you is in accordance to your commandment to us, that we are to give 10% of what we earn back to you. And Lord, we want to exercise our faith in this manner, that we know that you are the one who blesses us with all this financial provision. And Lord, we by faith and trust you that you will continue to provide for us by giving our 10% to you. So Lord, we just want to thank you for the privilege to tithe and to give offerings. And we want to ask that, Lord, may all our offerings and tithes be pleasing to you for the extension of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, we give thanks and pray. Amen. Amen.